You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
Kia ora, Tracy. How are you doing today?
Not too bad, thanks, Jemina. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Sorry we're a little bit later than we usually are, but we should just get right into it.
Okay.
First of all, wanting to talk to you about how in the weekend both Labor and National released their transport policies. So Labor has pledged to build light rail from downtown Auckland to the airport within a decade. Their policy also includes a Auckland regional fuel tax, while National has promised to invest $267 million into rail. So New Zealand First has released a media statement saying that both of these approaches aren't good enough. Why is that?
Well, first of all, I suppose the $267 million into rail now, 6 weeks out before a general election, after this government has deliberately ignored rail for so long. So I suppose we're a little bit suspicious of that announcement. With regard to Labor's announcement around light rail, if you have a look at the actual announcement, and they're talking about, if we just take the one that's all the way from the city centre out to the airport, stopping all along the way, it'd take you an hour and a half to get out to the airport with your luggage and so on and so forth for your plane. So we can see some, when we have a look at their policies, we can see that they seem somewhat convenient. And probably from my perspective, though, I'm more irritated by the fact that I live in Rodney, which was drawn into the super city of Auckland. And of all these announcements by these two big, old parties, there's not a thing on there for the area that I live in. There's no announcement around Penlink, which is a link that needs to be needed for the Whangaparoa Peninsula to continue with its growth. And there's nothing around Hill Street intersection, which has been discussed for 20 years, in Warkworth, which sits on the State Highway 1 and causes major traffic jams for us. So it's just another situation of people trying to bribe the centre of Auckland, I think, with a bit of money, but then ignoring most of the people in the wider part of Auckland.
Right, so you kind of feel like they're all patting themselves on the back for talking about investing into rail when really it's just it doesn't deliver for wider Auckland, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how many people actually realise that Auckland goes all the way to Tahana, right?
Mm.
And the people in Tahana and Welford and Warkworth have absolutely no public transport. The people at Puhoi, for example, no public transport. Go on the other side, on the Kaipara. They used to have a train service. They don't have a train service now. They've got special housing court areas all over the place and Kumu, et cetera, but they don't have a train service, a passenger train service. So, it's lovely to announce these things 6 weeks before an election, but practically, how many people and how much will it facilitate the growth of Auckland that this government, the national government, made into the super city?
And so with Labor, particularly with their regional fuel tax, what's your perspective on that? Is that the right approach to be able to fund more public transport?
The regional fuel tax was interesting. It was discussed when I was actually on the Rodney local board and the first local boards of the super city. And there's a problem there. Again, it comes down to, so if you're doing a regional fuel tax, you're talking about the whole of Auckland. So you're talking about the people in Tahana paying a regional fuel tax for stuff that is going to be built in the centre of the city that they probably are never going to get on. So you have disadvantage and advantage in that sort of a conversation. But I guess the next thing is, it's pretty much last century to start looking at a regional fuel tax when we're actually looking at, hopefully, the electrification of our vehicle fleet as quickly as possible.
So you're
trading on something that's an outgoing sort of outgoing tax, really.
Electrification of, do you mean that in terms of cars or in terms of...
I mean in terms of cars, because there's none of this conversation coming from National or Labor. All the people that, where I live, in my part of Auckland, 46% of the landmass of Auckland, but agreeably only 5% of the population, but with massive growth happening over the next 15 years, none of them have any access to any public transport.
I mean, I guess with the electrification of vehicles, though, so that does address environmental issues, but it still doesn't quite address congestion issues, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't. But what I'm saying is that you have to look at the future of the vehicle, of the vehicles that we're going to be driving. And I don't think anybody is arguing that we are going to be transitioning to electric vehicles, not just for the environment, but just because it's smart on so many other levels. So a regional fuel tax is old thinking, would be my statement. But secondly, you're quite right. This does nothing to help the congestion of, again, this 46% of Auckland, because there's no extension of the public transport route up into that part of Auckland.
I mean, I guess in some ways, though, they have to start somewhere, because Auckland Transport is, you know, such a mess in a way that they've got to start somewhere with this light rail, and hopefully that leading to further connection between wider parts of Auckland.
Well, I agree with you. You have to start somewhere, but it would be really nice. I've looked at NZTA maps since 2009, and there's not even a dotted line projecting any public transport into this area, this part of Auckland. So it's all very well and good to start somewhere, but there's not even a plan to get, and we've got special housing accord areas. Surely there should be a plan. Otherwise you get sort of the urban isolation that we had previously back in the 50s, where we built townships up and we didn't put in the transport nodes to actually deliver people to where they needed to be.
And so does New Zealand First have a plan for this?
We've got quite a comprehensive policy, but transport's not my space. So I'm going to have to say to everybody, you need to go to www.nzfirst.org.nz and check out the transport policy.
As far as we know, it didn't have New Zealand First is still yet to put out their transport policy, but it is promising to address issues within Auckland's transport system. But as far as we know, that there isn't a comprehensive plan at this stage.
There's a comprehensive plan for nationwide transport, and it does mention railways and passenger trains and so on. If you're looking for the more specific Auckland policy, then you may very well be right, and it might have to be something that I get to you at a later time.
So moving on quickly to touch on the Matiria Ture debate, I was just wondering where you stood on this. Do you agree with the commentators who are saying that she's not fit to lead the party anymore, or are you feeling a bit more sympathy towards her? What's your stance on this?
I haven't articulated a stance on it publicly, and I don't intend to. It's their party. It's their issue. I know who I'm voting for. So, the New Zealand public needs to make a decision themselves about who they wish to vote for and based on what criteria. But I want to make a couple of comments about David Clendon and Kennedy Graham. David Clendon has given 27 years to that political party, and he's made a decision based on the criteria that he needed to do that on. But I don't think anybody should dismiss David Clendon as a lightweight when he's committed 27 years of his life to the Green Party. And without Kennedy Graham, there would be no cross-party consensus and work going on around climate change under the umbrella of Globe New Zealand. Kennedy Graham made that happen. It's the first time it's ever happened in the New Zealand Parliament, and particularly to address climate change and get us all on the same page, sharing information to try and get us to carbon neutral by 2050. So I just wanted to put those comments on the record about those two men.
So you don't agree with James Shaw's comments earlier in the week about how he has asked them to step down from their positions with the party because of the divided nature of the relationship between those two MPs and the party around the Matiria Ture admissions?
I don't have a view on the decisions that they have made, because it's not my place to have one. It's their party. Kennedy and David have made their decisions based on what they can live with and what they can sleep with at night. And James is a co-leader of that political party. It's not my place to actually... Why would anybody care what my opinion is on what the Green Party is doing.
Do you see, though, the state of the Green Party with all of these internal changes happening? Does this possibly worry you in terms of post-election forming potential coalition governments with them? Is that something that's concerned New Zealand First?
We don't discuss anything post 23rd of September. We have no conversations in our caucus or in our party about any sort of coalition deal or who we're going to go with after the 23rd of September. We are focused on the 23rd of September, on maximising our vote, on getting the greatest influence for New Zealanders who vote for New Zealand First. And we'll talk about those things after the 23rd of September.
Great. Well, thank you for coming onto the show today, Tracy. We will talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Shamina. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.